Well, we thank the Lord for answered prayer tonight. The Lord gave safety and protection to Donna, Michelle, and Hannah as they traveled over across the world and back to us again. So, Brother Don, would you come and share what the Lord's laid on your heart tonight?
Well, good evening, everyone. It's good to see you. I do want to thank Pastor Brainerd for giving me the opportunity and for Dr. Watt for giving up his slot on the schedule. I appreciate that. After the message this morning and just thinking about it, as we look at the cross and as we consider the cross, we all have to respond in one way or another, don't we?
Yes.
If we don't know Christ, we either accept Him or we reject Him. If we do know Christ, we glory in Him, and hopefully that glory will lead us to action. And so perhaps the presentation tonight and the message, the very short message, will encourage us to respond to what we've heard this morning in a way that would honor God in all that we do as we go out from this place. If you will, turn with me for just a moment to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Just to kind of set the context, I'm going to read the verse here, and then we're actually going to look at the last few verses of Matthew 9. But in chapter 10, Jesus is preparing to send his apostles out two by two on their first mission trip, if you will. In verse 10 it says, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease." Then he goes through and he names the 12 apostles that he had called at this point. And then we'll skip down to verse 5. It says, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying," and then he gave them specific instructions on what they were to do. I want to focus here on that sending forth and what Jesus had done in leading up to that. Because the truth is, as we're sitting here on an Easter Sunday night, and we've celebrated and we've remembered the sacrifice that Christ made for us as he hung on that cross, and the redemption that he's provided as the Father accepted that sacrifice and raised him from the grave, it wasn't long after that that he gave all of us a mission to complete before he returned home. And just as he sent out these 12, he has sent all of us out. He happens to send us to the other side of the world. I don't know. Maybe people don't like me very much. And God knows it's just easier to send Donna Michelle way over there. But he sent all of us out somewhere. Whether it's Milton, whether it's Pensacola, wherever, Maine, wherever it may be, we are all sent. And I want to look at just a couple of things here of how he prepared his apostles to send them out, and a couple of things I think we can learn that prepare us to go out as well. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the blessings you've given us. We thank you for the calling that you've placed on each of our lives to represent you, to speak for you, to be your hands and your feet, to share the message of the good news of Jesus Christ and what you did on the cross for us. I pray, Father, that we would never take that lightly and we would never take it for granted, that we would depend upon you, rely upon you, and open ourselves up to you to work through us and in us as you send us out into this world. Go with us, protect us where we need to be protected, and most importantly, Father, help us to do whatever you would have us to do to bring honor and glory to yourself, not to us, but to you. For without you, we are nothing. For it's in your precious name we pray all these things. Amen. In Matthew chapter 9, beginning here in verse 35, Jesus has been doing miracles. He's been giving an object lesson to his apostles of what he was getting ready to send them out to do. He was truly the master teacher. Jesus didn't say anything and tell people things without showing them what he meant by them when he intended for them to know. For his apostles, they spent these years with him watching how to be who he needed them to be. And then he gave them little opportunities to practice before he left them. In these verses, verses 35, 36, 37, and 38, I think there's a couple of things for us to think about. Beginning in verse 35, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." I think this verse gives us a very brief, and I'm going to touch on it really quickly, a brief outline of some of the hows that we can be His hands and feet, that we can respond to that gospel that we heard about this morning in a real life, tangible way in our communities around us. The first thing in verse 35, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom." First, Jesus went to where they were. I think it's important that we never forget that. It's really easy for us, if we're not careful, to get comfortable with where we are and wait for the world to come to us. But God didn't say, "Sit and wait." God said, "Go." Jesus demonstrated this as He went out into the villages, out into this countryside, out into the cities, and He went into their synagogues to teach. He knew their culture. He understood who they were. He knew where to meet them in a way that would be meaningful to them. Now, I'm not saying that we as Christians need to go out and experience the world to win the world. That's not what I'm talking about. God has made it very clear we're to be separate, we're to be different, we're to be unique. But we need to understand it. We need to study it. We need to see and ask for wisdom from on high and from God's Word to understand what's going on around us and why it's happening. Folks, when you watch the news, it's not hard to look these days and say, "I cannot believe I'm seeing the things I'm seeing." Have you ever thought that? And at the same time, we were told it was going to be exactly like this. Why is it being like this? Because God is doing a work in preparing for His return, as we've already heard we're supposed to be looking for. This is part of the process of turning the world over to its own devices, right? The world is lost. When we see these things, rather than seeing disgust, how much does it break our hearts to see people who just don't get it? How much do we see people who have been deceived into believing things that are not true? And those lies of deception, if they are not overcome with truth, will take them to an eternal place of hell and punishment. That should break our hearts. We do not see, we have not seen sin displayed in our culture historically the way we see it today. It's always been there, but the embracing of it is new, isn't it? Why? Because we live in a lost world. We have to understand the culture we're living in. It's not our culture, but we have to understand it. We have to be students of it. Jesus was a student of the culture. He knew where to meet the people. He knew how to meet the people. He knew how to speak to the people. But the message was clear. He didn't teach the law in the synagogues. What did He teach? The gospel of the kingdom. Now, I'm not going to spend time there. If we're here tonight and we don't know what the gospel is, then you need to come and talk to Pastor Todd and Dr. Watt as soon as the service is over. Because I know it's been taught here. It was taught this morning. We know what the gospel is. That is our message, both in word and in deed. We see it in deed lived out here. Not only is it just in word, but it's in meeting people's needs where they are. Now, I'm not suggesting that you go out and start trying to heal people. If God wanted us to do that, we could do that. I don't believe that's what He wants us to do in this time and place. But there are other needs around us, and it's by showing that Christ-like love that we set ourselves apart. Did He not say that when we give just a cup of cold water in His name, we've done it unto Him. There's lots of needs. But before my time is up, look at verse 36. Because this is, if we're not careful, we get so focused on 35 and the doing that we forget 36. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Folks, if there's ever been a description of our world today, it's right there. I have said before when people have said, Brother Don, you must really love Chinese people to go to China. I didn't go to China because I love Chinese people. When I went to China, I didn't know any Chinese people. I went because God wanted me to go. I went because it was my duty to go. Now, I fell in love with the Chinese people. But here's the second thing that was so affirming about this trip. Because in this opportunity, I was amazed, not only in myself, but to hear from my family members separately how quickly God began to break our hearts for the people there. When we went out and we saw them, they were sheep scattered abroad without a shepherd. They were people that had believed a lie. They were people left to their own devices. They were people without truth. And I didn't see potential threats. I saw people that needed Jesus. That's not natural for me. I'll just be honest. You say, but Brother Don, you're a that word. I don't care. I'm still human. That's not natural for me. But God is good. And when we are willing to follow Him and open ourselves up to Him, He gives us the heart we need for the work that He calls us to do. As we go out from this place and we seek to serve the Father, that requires doing. But never forget who we are serving physically in this world. They are lost sheep. And without the truth, without a shepherd, they have no hope. Don't forget to look on the people. Let God break your heart with compassion. Because it's that compassion that gets you up in the morning. It's that compassion that helps you overcome the fear. It's that compassion that gives you the courage to step forward, even though you know there are going to be consequences. Jesus was moved with compassion. Why? Because He saw them in the state they were in. Folks, all the masks are taken off these days. I said sin's always been with us, but people were really good at wearing masks. You don't have to look hard to see the state people are in. Every day we're going to see it, and we're going to see it more. How are we going to respond? Are we going to resist, push back? Or are we going to let it break our hearts? Because we know where that state will lead them. We have the answer. Will we share it? Father, thank You for, again, Your Word, for Your Spirit, for the way that You speak to us and through us. I pray, Father, that You would use this time still to come tonight to continue to draw us closer to You, to solidify our purposes and our callings in You, and to rejuvenate us to go out from this place with courage and with compassion, to be Your hands, Your feet, Your voice, Your light in a dark and dying world. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen.
Brother Don, thank you so much for sharing your heart and that of Michelle and Hannah as they prepare themselves for going to a new place of service. And I trust that all of us will be faithful in praying for them and also upholding the rope for them. And that's not just praying for them, that means supporting them and encouraging them and staying in communication with them so that they know that we're here and we are available. But that also puts responsibility on us, as Brother Don said. We've got a job to do right here in Milton and Pace and Baghdad. There are people without the Savior, and they need to know the truth. And that means you've got to go outside your little world to reach them with the gospel. That's not easy. It's not fun. No good deed goes unpunished, right? That means that we're going to face opposition and persecution, and people won't like what we have to share with them. But that doesn't mean we stop giving the gospel message out, and we don't assume. But you got to get outside your comfort zone. And may we learn to do that quickly, because time is short. The Savior's coming back. Time is short.